Merry Christmas. One of the gifts we were given today is sunlight. Isn't it wonderful to see the sky again? You know, this year, for some reason, I have been spending some time kind of reflecting on what is my most memorable Christmas. Have you ever thought about that? What is your most memorable Christmas? And the grayer my hair gets, the more I have to reference, obviously. But one sticks out in my mind beyond all others. My most memorable Christmas began on Christmas Eve, December 24th, 1969. I was stationed on the USS Theodore E. Chandler, a destroyer deployed to Vietnam. And we were anchored in Da Nang Harbor, and we received word that there was going to be a ceasefire beginning Christmas Eve at 6 p.m. for 24 hours. And I can still remember clearly standing out on the weather deck of the destroyer as we were anchored there in the harbor, and I was looking over the countryside, and you could see the tracer bullets, you could hear the gunfire coming from the hills near the bay, and the sounds were a constant barrage of machine gun fire kind of blended together with large caliber howitzers. And then all of a sudden, I looked at my watch, it was 6 o'clock, and it all stopped. There was no sound, no gunfire. It was so quiet. It was eerily quiet. I kept straining to hear if there might be some gunfire in the distance or something where the truce would be broken, but it didn't come. We had a successful ceasefire. As I walked inside the destroyer, I realized that life on the inside had lightened up. We were still on a port and starboard watch, which is 12 hours on, 12 hours off, because we were in a combat zone. But nonetheless, it was still time where we could enjoy some Christmas spirit halfway around the world from home. In the radio central of the destroyer, we had erected an artificial miniature Christmas tree, kind of like the Charlie Brown-looking tree, really scrawny, had about a dozen ornaments on it, but it was ours. And so there we were kind of talking about what was going on, and it finally turned on one of our receivers to Armed Forces Radio so that we could listen to the Bob Hope special, because Bob Hope was just over in Da Nang holding a Christmas show for the troops. Unfortunately, we were not allowed to attend. And then later that night, a whole group of us gathered around the 1MC. Now, for those of you who had not been in the Navy, the 1MC is the ship's public address system. And so we gathered around the public address system, and we began to sing Christmas carols. And we found out later that those Christmas carols were being echoed throughout the ship, that as the guys were hearing them, whether they were down, the machinist mates way down in the hold, or whether they were the signalmen up in the crow's nest, wherever they happened to be, they were singing carols to our Lord. For a brief moment in time, our warship had changed its mission. It was now a place of Yuletide celebration. And before I went to sleep that night, I opened up my locker and I got out this New Testament that had been sent to me in a care package. And lying down on my bunk, I opened it up and I read the story of the Nativity from Luke chapter 2, the same story we heard this morning, the account of the birth of our Lord. Probably one of the most familiar passages of Scripture, and also the one that I remembered hearing every midnight mass as I was growing up, and also remembered after Christmas dinner when my dad would share that with us as a family. It was a story of a long wait for the Holy Family. It was having this one verse that always kind of piqued my interest. It said, in the verse that we, or version we read today, while they were there, the time came for her to have her child. Perhaps another translation of this would go this way. When the days were completed for her to be delivered. In other words, she had now come through her 9 months of pregnancy. And on Christmas, how important it is for us to remember that the Lord began His life as we did, as a baby in a womb. For 9 months, God the Son, the Creator, Sustainer, and Redeemer of all the world, was in the womb of Mary. In fact, if you were to visit the Church of the Annunciation in Nazareth, the place where Mary had her encounter with the angel, There's a sign there on the wall written in Latin saying, Verbum caro hic factum est. The word was made flesh here. And at the time of the Annunciation, however, there was no star. There was no angelic choirs. There was no bright lights, no explosions. It was a hidden but momentous event, one that would change both heaven and earth for all eternity, because God the Son was now residing in the womb of a woman. So the birth of Christ that we celebrate today is not just an ordinary birth of a human person. Divinity and humanity had been united at conception in time and in place into one individual existence. He was God the Son come to earth. I love the way that the Byzantine Eastern Rite Catholics celebrate the Annunciation with this one antiphon that reads, God is come among men. He who cannot be contained is contained in a womb. The timeless has entered time. And so, here we are on Christmas Day. Back then, heaven had been holding its breath for 9 months. Now, on Christmas Day, it finally resounds with angelic praise at the arrival of Christ the Lord. And it was in this way that God the Father could take this hiddenness and make it visible. He, in fact, was delivering the birth announcements. The world was to take notice. The Redeemer had come. John Fisher, one of my favorite songwriters, wrote a song called Angel's Song, and it goes like this. I love the way that he put it. He said, in the town of Bethlehem, a king and ruler child was born. Not too many people noticed, just some shepherds on their farm. Plus a few hundred thousand angels, breaking the heavens with their song, and the rocks and the mountains joined them, for their time had come. This was a momentous event in all of salvation history. Now, how does this go back to me on the Chandler, back in that time in Vietnam? Why was it most memorable regarding Christmas? Now, you have to understand, it was not my favorite Christmas. It was just the one that was most memorable. And why is that? Because it helped me to appreciate the mere simplicity and beauty of this great feast day. I was away from family and friends. Familiarity of Christmas decorations, the opening of presents, and all of the rest. There were no families around to talk to, no traditions that we used to have on Christmas morning. But nonetheless, at that time in Vietnam, I basked in the glory of the coming of the Christ child. There on the ship where we sang carols, I read the Christmas story, and remembered the real reason for the celebration. I found the heart of Christmas. Reminds me of another individual, a character who found the heart of Christmas, the Grinch. Remember the Grinch. And he learned a similar lesson that kind of goes this way. Dr. Seuss, by the way, is my favorite intellectual author. I just think he's great. The Grinch hated Christmas the whole Christmas season. Now, please don't ask why. No one knows quite the reason. It could be perhaps that his shoes were too tight. It could be his head wasn't screwed on just right. But I think that the most likely reason of all may have been that his heart was two sizes too small. But whatever the reason, his heart or his shoes, he stood there on Christmas Eve hating the Whos. Now, for those of you that have read the story, you know what the Grinch did. He went down into Whoville, and there he stole all of their presents. He stole all of their decorations. He took all of their food, including the roast beast. It was a horrible, horrible thing for the Whos. All of their Christmas was taken away. And he thought, there, I've done it. I've killed Christmas. But the next morning, something happened. Something different than what he expected. And it goes like this. 10,000 feet up the side of Mount Crumpet, he stood with his load at the tip top to dump it. Poo-poo to the Who's, he was grinchingly humming. They're finding out now that no Christmas is coming. They're just waking up. I know what they'll do. Their mouths will hang open a minute or two. Then the Who's down in Whoville will all cry boo-hoo. That's a noise, grinned the Grinch, that I simply must hear. He paused, and the Grinch put a hand to his ear. And he did hear a sound rising over the snow. It started in low, then it started to grow. But the sound wasn't sad. Why, this sound sounded glad. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presents at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. He puzzled and puzzled till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more. What happened then? Well, in Whoville they say that the Grinch's small heart grew 3 sizes that day. And then the true meaning of Christmas came through. And the Grinch found the strength of 10 Grinches plus 2. I know the feeling. I know what it is like to discover Christmas in its simplicity and its beauty. And I guess what's on my heart for you this morning is that no matter what your circumstances are this year, whether they are good or bad, whether things are plentiful or lean, whether you're in sickness or health, Christmas still comes. Christmas comes in the simplicity of the manger. Christmas comes in the beauty of knowing that Christ the Lord has come to earth, and that we are now seeing the Redeemer in the womb coming forth as the Redeemer of the world. And he came not just to be born. If it stops today, we've lost it. But he came. And as Luke would say in the next following verses, that Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. He continued to grow as a young man into an adult, into God the Son, who came as the Redeemer of the world. There was a pathway between the manger and the cross that he walked. And during that time, from the time that he was in his time of nativity to the time that he was on the cross, we heard his word and we received what God wanted us to know about salvation history, that he had come into the world to save sinners, that he came to die for us, and that we could have the hope of eternal life. And this came through Christ who died on the cross. One of the most powerful images that I've ever seen at Christmas time was an image of Jesus. It was a beautiful painting of Jesus lying in the manger. And there was a lantern hanging from the side of one of the walls of the manger, and it cast a shadow. And across the baby Jesus, there was the shadow of a cross. For from the beginning, from the time of his incarnation and his nativity in Bethlehem, our Lord was called to die for us, that we might be able to live for him. So this year, no matter your circumstance, no matter what's going on, you have the joy and the beauty of receiving Christ in your hearts and taking him with you as you walk through the very issues of life. So may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.